as somebody who has to appoint people to 154 boards, we have too many. And they're really important. Each one individually has this microcosm of a universe, and it's important to somebody. But when you take them over the totality, they increase protectionism, they increase bureaucracy, and we're really going to evaluate. Plus, I got agencies that can do this kind of work.
And they cost money, too.
Yeah, even the volunteer boards, right? Like, they got to meet, they have to be able to be over there, and it's not that, again, like I said, there's a lot of people that participate in these, and there's a lot of people, but there's also a lot of ones where you take years to fill a spot, and we're going to evaluate it. I think it's an important part of, you know, we have agencies that's full-time job is to deal with water or DOCR or tax or, I mean, Health and Human Services. The more outside interest or outside groups you put together to get involved in that process, the slower it is and the more bureaucratic it is.
You eliminated a few on day one, as I recall, and you want to do more, right?
Yeah, that was pretty easy. Those hadn't met in over a year. It's a little bit like if you haven't worn something in over a year, it's probably time to donate it to Goodwill. And so, but we're also asking for, I mean, this is set up where some of them either combine or go away, but we're also asking for legislative buy-in. You know, some of them I can do on my own. Some of them we need statutory changes. So we're putting a task force together to take a really close look at this and then come back in the next legislative session and where we need code changes. Because some of the things the boards do are actually really important, but that doesn't mean that there's not another place where we could create efficiencies by having somebody do a little more instead of having all these unique little subsects.
It is interesting when a governor decides to testify before a committee, and you mentioned Lieutenant Governor Strindon is doing that as well. I remember Ed Schaefer testifying before a committee related, that was early 90s, related to maybe we ought to look at different tax treatment for the oil and gas industry, and maybe they'd explore a little more here, and maybe we could unlock some of the resources below us. Lots happened since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and I've said this too. There was nothing particularly special about the Bakken compared to other shale rock. We created a policy that allowed risk takers to come up here and invest their policy or invest their capital up here. And there's a reason that the Bakken was the first place. I mean, people have been trying horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing for a long time. We figured, I always tell my friends in Congress from Texas, I go, you guys might have invented it down there, but we perfected it in the Bakken.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Speaking of which, today you're going to participate in a press conference related to a new study on the amount of revenue generated by the oil and tax industry. Give me the top line here.
$32 billion since 2008. That's the top line. I mean, we collect 50% of our local tax collection has something to do with oil and gas. It really, really means a lot to me growing up in Western North Dakota. We're creating generational wealth for the next generation of North Dakota kids. It pays from everything from schools to taxes, or schools to water projects to infrastructure. And I mean, $12 billion in the legacy fund and continues to grow. We're using revenue from the legacy fund to pay for our property tax proposal. I mean, we're trying to do this in a way where we create a scenario where we continue to be responsible stewards of taxpayer money, but also deliver some real benefit back to North Dakota citizens.
If you look at this chart, 2008 to 2024, it's pretty fascinating to see the dollars. If we took the next 10 years out and did a forecast, we'd start to see a pretty significant decline, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is all based on current technology. I one thing I have been cautious on all of this is I know some pretty smart guys in the oil and gas industry that are going to figure out how to do this, but we're leaving 85% of the oil in the rock. We know that. And so there's and how we figure out enhanced oil recovery policies and how we figure out how to get CO2 over to them to figure out how to do that. We crack that code and get another 20% out. That just extends all of this in a real meaningful way. Brian Crosh has got a great presentation on what that would actually mean to the North Dakota budget, what that would mean to these communities, what that would mean to schools and water and infrastructure. And so we have to, we did it before. You talked about Ed Schaefer testifying towards it. You know, that's when they set up these tax incentives, and that's when they set up the legacy fund. We can do it again, and we need to.
Talk a little bit about, you know, another piece of I guess it's proposed legislation for the Industrial Commission budget, as I recall. But same day that that Brian Crosius laid out, hey, here's what could happen tax revenue if we have enhanced oil recovery, North Dakota Petroleum Research Council, Oil and Gas Research Council, had a ask of the Industrial Commission to say, let's 7x, 8x research dollars so we can expedite, you know, widespread commercial use of enhanced oil recovery and take $16 billion and add $60 billion to it and supercharge it. That would be matching money. $60 million would have to also come from industry. So you could literally have $120 million in new money trying to move that needle sooner. Do you support that?
I do. And I think one of the secrets that we don't talk enough about is the EERC and what we have created between our university system and, you know, it's Grand Forks, North Dakota. It's pretty far away from the oil patch, right? But we've created these synergies with the industry and research facilities that have allowed us to be so far ahead of the game in this process. And I think the ROI on this is just really, really significant. The money is important, but the policy is also important because how we do tax incentives to get people to take risks and to try and figure out how to crack that code, it's easier when you're dealing just with the drillers, but a lot of this is based on federal policy and $25 differentials on what you get for carbon. And so I think there's some ways we can do it. Commissioner Crosius thinks he can get that differential down from $25 to $11. But if we can get the money and we can effectuate the policy, I think we have a real opportunity to crack that code.
There's a fair amount of, I think it's a small group of folks, but they're very loud, that oppose anything to do with the, you know, sort of what they consider the green agenda and using CO2 in any way, whether it's sequestration, which helps the coal folks, whether it's utilization. They seem to be just say no, no hard no. I was down in South Dakota on Monday and met with your another new governor, Larry Roden, down there, and Larry talked about his initial opposition to ethanol and how that's completely changed because he's seen what it's done to the ag economy. And obviously, the ethanol plants have CO2 that comes off their stacks that can be captured, put in these pipelines, and ultimately come out here. What do you say to the critics who think that's succumbing to the green agenda?
Well, I think, one, the policy exists. And you can either work in the world as it is or work in the world as you wish it was. And when you come from the geographic center of North America and you know you need CO2 to crack that extra 20% and in the Bakken to create that generational wealth for North Dakotans, we're going to try it. I mean, that's it, I said it. There's a lot of, you know, ideological and political conversation that has happened over CO2. CO2 for North Dakota is about enhanced oil recovery. But in order to get the CO2 for enhanced oil recovery, you have to understand the scale that exists with pipe, with ethanol plants in Iowa, all of the different economic interests that come into this equation. And I want to get CO2 into the Bakken, and I want to get 20% more of the oil out of that rock.
And that could take this number that you're going to be touting today since 2008 and put it on steroids, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the press conference later today is fun. I mean, everybody else did all the work, and I get to come down and celebrate it with them. So, I mean, you know this, and I've told this story, and sometimes I when you do this job long enough, you get worried about repeating it, but it's not a dollars and cents thing. And sometimes I think we spend too much time talking about how much money's in a bank account or how much money's in an account. What it is opportunity. It's opportunity for kids that are graduating high school. You know, we had 3 days of CTE kids here. I was talking to four kids from Watford who are all looking for internships to do electrical work in the oil patch. Well, 1995, nobody wanted it. No, there were no internships in the oil patch. There were no internships in Watford City. These kids all left.
Yeah, you're right. And every school, every road or bridge you travel across, every place that's protected by a water project, all that comes from this funding. So yep. It is quality life through and through, no doubt about it. More with Governor Kelly Armstrong from the state capitol in Bismarck today. We'll get to your questions. Those are coming in. Text us 237-1590. Call us 271-1100.
Are you tired of woke investment firms trying to push their political agenda onto your money? This is Brian Kronk, financial advisor at Collins & Kronk here in Fargo. If you are through with big East Coast companies and their ESG agenda, call Collins & Kronk for a consultation. See how we build a plan based on what matters to you. Call Collins & Kronk today, 701-235-0119. That's 701-235-0119. At Collins & Kronk, you matter.
Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member, FINRA, SIPC. Collins & Kronk is not a broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
This year, learn what it means to be a true leader with the University of Mary's graduate business programs. Receive unparalleled industry preparation in both our MBA and DBA programs while discovering how true leaders care about more than their company's bottom line. Eligible students can earn up to $10,000 in scholarships. Visit umary.edu/MBA. That's umary.edu/MBA.
Winter is here, and so are the savings at Gateway Building Systems. Take advantage of limited-time winter discounts on Brock Solid Grain Bins, built to protect your harvest and your bottom line. Need immediate assistance? Our expert millwrights crews are available now to handle your repairs and upgrades. Schedule your preseason checkup today. Don't wait. Lock in your winter discounts. Call Gateway Building Systems at 1-800-747-4499.
Tearing up yards and jackhammering floors used to be the only way plumbers could repair damaged pipes. Not anymore. With Newflow, a division of H.A. Thompson & Sons, your pipes can be fixed permanently, without the mess, and at a fraction of the cost. Using existing access to pipes, entry, and exit points, Newflow cleans out the pipe, then lines it with an epoxy liner, creating a new pipe inside the old one. No digging, no destruction. Call Newflow and save thousands. Newflow of North Dakota, a division of H.A. Thompson & Sons.
Are you tired of woke investment firms trying to push their political agenda onto your money? This is Brian Kronk, financial advisor at Collins & Kronk here in Fargo. If you are through with big East Coast companies and their ESG agenda, call Collins & Kronk for a consultation. See how we build a plan based on what matters to you. Call Collins & Kronk today, 701-235-0119. That's 701-235-0119. At Collins & Kronk, you matter.
Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member, FINRA, SIPC. Collins & Kronk is not a broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
No child should be denied the opportunity to receive an education rooted in truth, beauty, and goodness simply because of their family's financial situation. At Capstone Classical Academy, we believe that every child deserves the transformative power of a faith-filled education, one that equips them to navigate life with wisdom, virtue, and a deep understanding of God's love. Giving Hearts Day is February 13th. Now's the perfect time to put your donation to work, transforming lives by providing assistance for need-based scholarships. Find Capstone Classical Academy at givingheartsday.org and donate today.
What's on your mind? Brought to you today by MyPillow. Buddy Mike Lindell tells me that the cross that he wears, the necklace, is now available for you and I to give by. And there's actually a ladies' version of the necklace as well. And they're 30% off right now when you use the promo code Scott. So wear the cross Mike wears. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott, plus shipping's free right now. It's a great deal. So if you're not sleeping well, could be a new pillow, could be a new blanket, could be a new comforter, mattress. They've got them all. You buy a better night's sleep, and when you sleep well, everything goes better. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott, or call them at 800-506-9028. We have a bunch of questions for you that have come in. One of them was about a state defense force. I'd never heard of it before, but evidently North Dakota is one of five states that doesn't have one. Many of the states are inactive. About 22 are active, and evidently it supports the National Guard. But its roots are sort of preventing against tyranny or whatever. Do you think we need a state defense force?
Well, I think that my state defense forces I hired as my CEO, the former adjutant general of the North Dakota National Guard. And no, I mean, I think whenever you're talking about homeland security protection, floods, fires, tornadoes, national security, when you have a northern border, I think you should take a lot of that stuff very, very seriously, and we do. I do think North Dakota has a very unique relationship with our National Guard. Our emergency services is based out of there. I advocated for this a lot in D.C. when people were talking about, you know, militarization of this type of stuff, and I'm like, when the National Guard shows up in our community, we're always happy to see them. Yeah, and, okay. I mean, everything from COVID to tornadoes to droughts to blizzards and all of that. So, but if there's a way to do it better and we can look at it and make it more efficient, I mean, I think we should look at all of that.
Here's another. Could you ask the governor if we can build a state-owned oil refinery such as we have a state mill in Grand Forks?
I tend to let the private market do those things. I think our state mill and our state bank are treasures for the state of North Dakota. I don't think you could get them done now. And more importantly, I think if government tried to do them now and start them now, we'd screw it up. Refining capacity versus pipeline capacity versus how all of that goes. I do think we have some real opportunities with some of our current refineries, with our business regulatory environment, to maybe grow those as they find out their friends in St. Paul aren't as easy to work with. And I think if we can expand capacity and lower the cost, we should try and do that. But I'm not interested in the state owning it.
really, when you talk about refineries, aren't they better positioned closer to the actual, you know, larger population centers?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, the transportation discount and how that works. But, I mean, if there's a way to make this economic, I would prefer. I mean, I've always said this. These guys know what they're doing. We know where the bottlenecks are. We have to get the federal permitting process out of there. By the way, if we tried a refinery right now under current regulation, nobody'd see it for 12, 14, 16 years. And that's if the litigation just moves slowly and not at glacial pace.
Let me ask you about that quickly before I go to more questions. Obviously, you have a new sheriff in town by the name of Donald J. Trump. You have a new Secretary of Interior, you have a new Secretary of Energy, and a lot has happened in 17 days related to things that could change the world of North Dakota. What are you most excited about?
Most excited about the endangerment finding over at executive order. I do think that'll take a while because, unfortunately, I think it'll be litigated. But I think there's real opportunity. I think there's two opportunities. One, to streamline this stuff, and two, to have people in those offices that understand what the opportunity cost is. I mean, we have a real opportunity in North Dakota now to take people who are adversarial to our way of life that now recognize they need our natural gas. I mean, you can take the seven biggest tech companies. They're not powering a data center or an AI computer on wind and solar. They're not doing it. So we have an opportunity to change the narrative and grow our economy. We just need the federal government to give us some access to some speed so we can do this.
And yet we have counties in North Dakota right now that have moratoriums against doing what you're suggesting. Same thing in South Dakota. What do you make of that level of pushback at the county or local level?
I think if you want to take a look at it and slow it down and say, depending on your capacity to do infrastructure, but I think we are going to have longer conversations about how to grow our economy. I have huge problems with linear infrastructure being stopped at the county level. I watched this happen in D.C. through environmental litigation and all of that, because you don't have to stop linear infrastructure everywhere. You only have to stop it in one spot. And we have to be able to build transmission line, pipeline, roads, railroads, and those have to be able to do that. We're the geographic center in North America. It doesn't matter if it's a train car full of coal, train car full of wheat, or a pipeline full of oil or natural gas. We got to get our products to market, and we have to have linear infrastructure to do it.
Another listener says, during the campaign, you talked about the concern over the Fargo School District disregarding federal policy on the transgender issue, boys and girls bathrooms, etc. Now President Trump has spoken. Will you deal directly with the Fargo Public School District to fix this?
Yeah, I have to look at it, but it wasn't federal policy. It was state law. I don't care home rule charter. I don't care local ordinance. I don't care if you're a school board member or just a guy standing on the corner of the street. You don't have the ability to just stand up and say, I'm not going to follow state law. That's not how it works. You don't have to like the law. You still have to comply with it.
Yeah, and they were also disregarding federal guidance on it. No, they were using federal against the state, weren't they?
They were using a federal rule to say they didn't have to follow state law. Well, that's not how it works.
And you said at the time, if they didn't fix that, they could, you know, you potentially would look at reducing their funding as a result.
Well, we can talk with the legislature. That's why I think what I said is, you know what, the legislature comes in session next, and, I mean, they're the funding mechanism, so.
So now they'd be defying not only state law, they'd also be defying what
Yeah, and I haven't actually heard him, but, I mean, you had an executive order yesterday and dealing with that, and, I mean, that overcorrection is coming in a real fast way, which is, I don't think, all that surprising.
Another listener wants to know about the bill to end daylight savings time. If it makes it to your desk, please sign it and end this insanity.
So I this isn't a daylight savings times question, but I was in Mountain Time in Dickinson, and my partner office was in Grand Forks, and you lose 4 hours a day with that. You lose one in the morning, one in the evening, and two over lunch. Now, nobody works 8 to 5 anymore, but we'll see what happens when it gets to there. But I think the Fargo, Moorhead, Grand Forks, East Grand Forks people are going to have some impacts I'm not sure they're necessarily thinking about. Because you end up being on a different time. I mean, we watched Mountain Time move farther and farther west, right? It used to be the Missouri River, and it didn't make any sense for Bismarck and Mandan to be on the same time. But we dealt with this a lot in Congress, and I think maybe after I don't have infants anymore, people are really passionate about it.
Another question. Representative Murdahl, Senator Murdahl, actually, and other legislators are fighting term limits. That's what this bill is all about. It's treating voters like children. There are some efforts to reform things within the ground rules on term limits. Are those changes needed?
Anything that that is going to reform term limits probably doesn't get to my desk because it has to be a resolution to put on the ballot. I do think there is some miscommunication about what the silence in law means. Silence in law is not ambiguity when it's a constitutional measure. There is no ambiguity. If the law is silent as to when it applies the day it goes into the Constitution, and that's the day it moves forward. So I'm not a huge fan of legislation trying to change whether I agree with them or not. I've been pretty outspoken against term limits. They're in the Constitution, and that is the law.
Probably the most important question of the day. Ask Kelly who he's got for the Super Bowl.
I don't care. I was really rooting for the Bills. I was really, really rooting for the Bills. I'll watch the game. I enjoy the game. I think what the Chiefs are doing is pretty amazing. I don't like the soccer approach to getting personal fouls all that much. But to be honest, since I started running for governor and after getting elected and then sworn in, I haven't had a lot of time to watch football.
It's still fun, though.
Yeah. The Super Bowl's great. I'm excited for it.
But I mean being governor, despite that schedule.
No, being governor is the best job I've ever had. It's fantastic.
Yeah, great to see you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks.
Governor Kelly Armstrong, a press conference later today that he'll participate in. We'll have coverage for that for you as well.